there's this asshole who, like, whenever there's a news van and, like, somebody out reporting, he manages to find them. And he'll just run on my camera and be like, fuck her in a pussy, and run away.
What?
This is this old man.
It's an old man?
Yes.
I was thinking it was, like, some young kid.
Ever since he started doing that, kids have been doing, like, not kids, but, like, teenagers and adults have been doing, and it's always boys.
Well, who else is gonna say that shit? Fuck her in the pussy.
Fuck her right in
her
pussy. Look, I'll show you this guy real quick.
The fuck else are you gonna fuck her? I guess there's places.
In her ear?
Fuck her in the ear.
Fuck her in her ear. But then, you didn't watch the last season of American Horror Story, did you?
No, I didn't.
There was a parody they did that it was grab her right in her pussy because of... It was about the election and, you know, Donald Trump.
Oh, that was Cult. Was it Cult?
Yeah.
I watched, like, the first, like, 6 episodes, maybe 8 episodes. I just was not into it. It was just a bunch of fuckery for me, honestly.
They were just fucking with that lady and her
Exactly. Family. It was a bunch of fuckery. And I was just like, this is stupid.
Oh, there's a compilation. Hold on. This is years ago.
He's been working on this for a very long time. I'm sick, by the way. Like, yesterday my nose started running. Brandy, fix your face.
That's Norman's face. He's always making that fucking face.
Fix your face and tell me how was your week.
Why are you making that face?
Happy Easter, by the way.
Happy slappy Easter. My week was actually pretty good. Was it pretty good?
I'd like to hear that. So what? Sounds good.
I'm like, it was pretty good.
Keep going with that.
What happened? I have to remember what happened. What happened? So, I finally got to publish an article. Like, I feel like I've been working on so many articles, but not publishing any. Like, I haven't published any except for that Kaiser article this month, but I haven't published anything.
Where'd you publish it?
On AV News, abhealthcarenews.com.
Oh, so on the website, okay.
Yeah. And this one is about, because April is Stress Awareness Month.
Oh. Okay.
And so I was like, that's going to be like the cover story on the newspaper. I need to get this done. And I just never did it. Like, I would work on it and then work on something else. Mm-hmm. And then work on, so I was working on like 5 different like stories, mm-hmm. but none of them were finished because I was working on 5 instead of just working on 1 because I can't, for some reason, just focus on 1 task. I'm like, I got to do all of these things right now.
Yeah.
And so I finally did that. I finally published it. I have for my thumbs up for the week, actually.
Don't tell us about it. You have to wait.
Exactly. But I think I'm going to attribute it to my thumbs up for the week, and we will discuss that when we do our thumbs up.
All right, cool. Cool, cool, cool.
So how was your week?
My week was short.
Short.
So it was really...
Oh, that's right. You didn't work on Friday?
I didn't work on Friday because it was Good Friday, and I was also off on Monday.
You were off on Monday?
Yeah, I took the day off.
Oh, you was trying to be slick. You didn't say hello to nobody.
Excuse me. I told the podcast that I was off on Monday. You were here, so hopefully you were listening. Oh, wait a minute. Brandy just told me she doesn't listen to our episodes.
I don't, okay? I don't want to hear my voice. I don't like it. Sorry.
I'm so shocked. Like, that just blew my freaking mind. I was like, oh my God, Brandy, did you listen to our episode?
You know why? My voice sounds like a little boy.
I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. Brandy... Where she comes to my house, we hang out on Sundays to record. I don't get to see her throughout the week because we're busy people. And I'm like, Brandy, did you listen to the episode? She looks at me and it's like, no.
I don't know if I said it like that.
It was like that, no. And I was like, ugh. You're like, I don't listen to the episodes. And I was like, are you freaking kidding me? We got this new mic and I wanted to see if you heard the difference. And, you know, the quality of this podcast. And I'm so mad that you are listening. So mad.
I listened.
I've been kikiing to myself all the time. Like, honestly, I listen to the podcast
and
hear
you.
And
you talk to yourself?
No. I listen to the podcast.
Like, you talk to yourself?
To listen to you because you crack me up.
Oh, my God.
I kid you not. Like, I listen to listen to you. I'm a freak.
That's funny.
That's how much I love you.
That's so funny.
I love you so much.
I don't want to hear my voice at all. Like, at all. Inside of my head, my voice sounds fine. But outside of my head, I feel like it sounds like a little boy.
No, you don't sound like a little boy.
So I'm like, I don't want to hear it.
You don't sound like a little boy. Little dude. Anyway, Oh, but my week was good. So I had a short week. I got my flyers, which are like brochures or whatever for Beauty's Biscuits.
Like those little pamphlet things.
Those pamphlets I showed you.
Yeah.
So I got 500 free ones, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, free shit.
Yeah. Love, and you know what? Shit. Honestly, so I was not planning on doing this or even mentioning this on the podcast, but so I got like 3 gift cards for Starbucks for my birthday. Like $20 gift cards from Starbucks. And I don't even drink Starbucks. Like, I'm just like, I'm drinking
Starbucks. You don't go to Starbucks at all?
No. I make my coffee at home.
You don't? Dude, their teas are so good.
Well, anyway, I was planning on going to Starbucks this week. So on Tuesday, I was like, okay, I'm going to take one of these gift cards with me. I'm going to go to work and, you know, go and get Starbucks this week. Just walk across the street. And so I saw this girl who works at the local restaurant. And she's just so cheerful. She's so happy. She always says hi. She knows who I am. And like,
you by know, work?
She, by my job. Like, she works at a restaurant. I go there and have lunch there a lot or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just the sweetest little thing. And I saw her in there and I was like, I'm going to give her a Starbucks gift card
That's
today.
That's nice.
And so
That's
I just.
What happens when you're nice to people. You
get right. You. I just. Well, exactly. Well, yeah. But I just went in there later on. I was like, hey. And I usually order something. And she was just like, oh, you know what's wrong? And I was like, I want to buy you coffee. Here you go. $20. Have a great day. And I just ran out. I was just like,
you didn't let her say thanks?
She was like, oh, yeah, thank you.
You're like, ah, I gotta go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, you're welcome, bye. Boom.
I had to get out of here.
Phew. You know, it's awkward. But I honestly.
You should just say, you know what? I appreciate that you always have a smile on your face.
I was like, buy everybody some coffee or whatever you want to get from Starbucks.
Right.
Here's $20. Have a great day. And it just.
You can buy a cup with that.
It just made her day. So it's just like, awesome, right? And so then the next day, I was like, I'm going to get myself some Starbucks. I'm going to use this gift card I got.
You gave it away again.
I did. So
apparently, you don't want to go to Starbucks.
I do. So later on, I was leaving work, and I never made Starbucks, and I still had the gift card.
Is there one? There should be one.
It's right across the street.
Okay.
But when I'm at work, I'm working, and like, you know, I'm just needed. And so, and then I can only drink coffee once a day.
You should get one of their tea drinks are really good.
Okay, I only have one a day. But, so, it was the cleaning lady. And then she's like, you know, she's so cute, you know, and she always smells nice, and she says hi.
She always smells nice.
Like, she walks by my desk and, you know,
you're like,
takes my trash, let me smell your hair. And so, I saw her, and I was leaving for the day.
You're all floating on her little
And I was like,
smell.
I'm sick, like the fucking smoke. Pepe Le Pew.
Yeah. And her smell smoke. Floating on it.
I was like, do you drink Starbucks? She's like, yes, yes. Like, she speaks Spanish. She's like, yes, yes. And I was like, here's a gift card.
And he ran away.
And I ran to the bathroom.
She's like, there's a trail of dust going that way.
Well, awkward. Let me just get out of here. Bye.
And you're running people with your gift cards. Yeah,
the gift card bandit. And so then I came back because I go to the bathroom before I leave work. So I came back and she's like, oh, thank you. I was like, you're welcome. Bye. Like, have a great.
No talk to me.
Have a great weekend. Make no eye contact.
I'm embarrassed.
I just honestly, like, we get so much. We consume so much. And, you know, like, I love gifts. And thank you guys so much for the gifts that I got. But it was like, I don't need all that. And if I could touch somebody or make their day or just, you know, free coffee.
Mm.
Here you go. That was not my intention at all. But it, you know, it feels good to make people feel good. And that's why I think I got those free $500 brochures, like the tiny.
The Karma Bandit. The
Karma Bandit. The tiny misprints on there. So I picked up my order and they sent back the original copy or edit or proof. And the edits that I had made to my proof did not make it to print. So it was slight little, you know, details that I noticed were not correct. So I got 500 free brochures for my business. And I'm going to get the correct ones next week.
Yeah. But see, and you can still use those. So that's
I can still use those. They're so tiny.
Yeah.
So tiny, tiny, tiny. Anyway.
They're not even noticeable. They're like little, like.
I noticed them.
Exactly.
Exactly.
They're your, you know.
Exactly.
You know what's really funny? The book I listened to is You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about how her friend was diagnosed with MS. And she was, like, you know, doing all these therapies. And she went to this lady. And the lady was like, give away something for 29 days, you know, 29 days in a row. Just give away something. It could be give away your time, give away, you know, money, give away, just give something away mm-hmm. for 29 days. And she did it, and she noticed that her symptoms, like she wasn't having the symptoms of MS, like she was feeling better. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, like she was getting better. And basically, like, it was, you, by giving something away, you like, it does something to you where you, like, you're more appreciative of things.
It makes you feel good. It makes you feel.
Well, yeah, it makes you feel good. But, like, her thing was, like, just, it basically, it takes your mind off of you, yourself.
Right.
You know, you're giving something away. And I think that has a lot to do with it, too. Like, she said that her, people around her, the lady with MS, started doing the same thing. And they noticed that they were feeling better. Like, they were feeling better than, you know, when they first started or whatever.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So I've been trying to do that. And I actually, like, the other day I gave $3 to this guy who was standing, you know, he was sitting on the corner and he had a sign and it said, traveling, anything helps. It wasn't like, I'm hungry. It was like, traveling.
I feel really bad how I, like, look when I look at them. I'm just like, I know. So I know you don't need, like, I know what you're up to. And I say that just because, like, I get off on Cahuenga in Hollywood, and it's like the same jokers that are there, and they share a sign.
They share a sign.
They share a sign.
It's the one sign?
It's the same fucking sign. Wait. I see different people holding, and it says, I'm human too.
But that's all it says?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so they hold the sign, I'm human too. I see them every day because I'm there at the same time every day, and it's different people. I'm just like, I want to give you something. Maybe I'll give you some fruit or something. I'm not going to give you any money. And they have tents, and I see them, and I'm just like.
Yeah, well, his thing was, like, he was traveling, and he obviously wasn't in a car. Like, or, right. You know, so even if he was, like, hitchhiking or whatever, I was like, you know what, just, here's $3.
That's nice.
You know, get whatever. And then, like, yesterday, I was in Rite Aid. I went in Rite Aid, and Kelsey, right, and this lady went in before me, this lady, she was like, she was standing outside the store for a while. Uh-huh. When I parked, I noticed her. And I went in, and she went in right before me. And so I'm going in, and I'm just looking at these cute little tiny orchids. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, these are cute. And she turns around, and she looks at me, she goes, do you have a dollar? And I was like,
what?
So I look, and because I had given away my $3. That was the only cash I had.
Oh, okay.
And so.
Sorry, bro. Gave it away.
I had some change. She was like, all right, you know, some change. And so, like, I gave her, like, it was probably, like, 90 cents or something like that. Almost a dollar. I was like, maybe this is a dollar. I don't know. But I had to pluck, like, each coin out of my purse.
Yeah.
I mean, out of my wallet. And she was like, oh, it's just some change. I'm just trying to get this one thing. I was like, here you go. So I just gave her all the change that I had in my wallet.
Right.
But I was just like, I mean, obviously she needs it. Otherwise, she wouldn't have asked.
Obviously.
So, I gave it to her. But I just thought it was funny because she just stopped and she looked at me. She goes, do you have a dollar?
Hey, girl. You look like you might have a dollar. Close mouth, don't get fed.
All I had was my wallet.
Do you have a dollar?
I was like, okay.
I guess, so, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's cool. I mean, we, you know, that's how we were raised.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, if you obviously need more than I do. So, right. I'll give it to you. Good luck. And I'm like, I'm not going to judge you for, you know, what you might do with the money, but just.
I know, I'm such a dick. I'm such a dick. I used to give out money, like, when I used to live in San Francisco. Like, this guy, he was, like, the happiest panhandler ever. He'd, like, have a blessed day. How are you? Like, come out of this, like, you know, from the BART. Hi. Have a great day. Have a blessed day. Have a blessed day. Every day. And, like, okay, here.
You live here, don't you?
Take my money.
If you're giving money to the same guy, though, like...
Exactly. It's a racket. They make, like, $60,000 a year untaxed. And on a good street. Do you know what I'm saying? So, I get it. You know, everybody's struggle is different. We don't know, you know, how they got to where they are. And we don't know their struggle. But I like to give food.
Yeah.
I prefer to give food rather than give money. I'll, like, we have fruit coming at work on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and usually I'll walk out Tuesday, Thursday night, and I'll give out fruit. I'm like, do you want some fruit?
You're the fruit lady.
I'm the fruit lady. Or, you know, whatever. I prefer not to give money.
Yeah.
But, you know, to each his own. Anyway.
You mean to each his own?
Yeah, whatever.
To each his own, like, to own.
Is that not the word?
It's to each his own. Or to each her own.
To each her own. Okay. Well, anyway. I am Sunny Hepburn.
I'm Brandi Fleeks.
And this is
Book of Lies,
the podcast.
The podcast.
What are we covering today?
We are covering the 1919 Black Sox scandal.
You know what's funny?
What?
When you told me we were doing this, I like Googled Black Sox and I was like, who are the Black Sox?
No, that's not. Actually, there is a team called the Black Sox, but they're a minor league team.
Okay.
In, I think, Mississippi or something like that. No. Okay, so we are going to talk about some baseball players who decided to fix the World fucking Series of 1919. You know why? Because they felt like they wasn't getting enough monies. It's all, you know, money.
People, they're getting their pockets and their hands greased.
People always, I mean, I just don't understand.
Money is the root of all evil.
But it isn't. Like, greedy people, like Jen Sincero says, greedy people do greedy things for money.
Who is this?
Jen Sincero, she wrote the book, You Are a Badass.
Oh, who we were just talking about.
Okay, stop. You can't. No, go away.
I'm
go
super away. Congested, so me. I do apologize for this episode, but Mama is sick.
I'm being licked. Licked.
He was licking me!
Oh my god, ravenous. David Arquette. That's funny. Okay. So, the 1919 World Series was between the Chicago White Sox and the Cincinnati Reds. Mm-hmm. And at the time, you don't... Okay. This World Series basically changed the way they run baseball now. Like, okay. There was no baseball commissioner before this happened.
Okay. So they freaking did some shit that, like, changed history?
Changed the game.
Flipped the script, changed the game.
But they also, I mean, they changed, you know, made some good changes. But, so, basically, all of my info comes from Wiki. Wiki. And I, you know, of course, went to some other websites.
Smithsonian. Yeah.
They're actually a good source as well. But I feel like Wikipedia, like, encompasses more information. So.
Do you see this dog?
Yes. She's like, she thinks she's a lap dog. She's too big to be a lap dog. she is.
But she's just like, I control you. Do you see this?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things about this World Series was that, like, the World Series is played in 7 games. It's the best of 7 games.
It's best of 7, right?
This one was the best of 9. So they added 2 more games to the freaking World Series.
No. Yeah, maybe there was 9 and then it changed to 7.
No.
They added it for this game.
For some reason, they did the best of 9
for this
in the World Series this year. And this was like...
This was 100 years ago.
This was... Yeah, you're right.
I can do math.
It is. It's 100 years ago. Wow. But this happened in September, the World Series. Also, this was during World War II. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the guys who were playing, basically... I mean, not a lot of guys that were playing. A lot of the spectators mm-hmm. were fighting the war. Mm-hmm. So the receipts, because that back then they got a share of the receipts at the door. A lot of people weren't showing up to the games because they were fighting a war.
Right.
So the money was less.
Yeah.
And then so basically here, let's
the players got a share of the door.
The players got a share of the door.
That's legit.
Right. That was back then.
Okay.
So, but there was a lot of things at play to make this happen, mm-hmm. but basically it was all about money, of course. So, excuse me, I have to burp. And it's stuck.
I didn't even hear it.
I didn't burp. It's stuck. It's stuck here.
All right, Nora Jones, you're out of here. Get out of here. Look at her. If I give her too much attention, she keeps wanting more.
Yeah.
Do you see?
Yeah.
And I have to deny her what she wants because it's for the best of this relationship.
Yeah. Okay. I have to deny her because it's for the best. Okay. I had to process that one.
I know, right? I'm a dick. Can I just put her outside really quick? Do you mind?
Yeah, go ahead.
Come on.
Let's
go.
Get out of here, Nora.
Get out of here, Nora, you dirty bitch.
Are you going to put her outside or are you going to put her just outside?
Let me just put her downstairs.
So, I asked you all. I was like, what did my mom say when you dropped off the kids?
She was like, this is some bullshit.
Why'd she say that? So anyways, any of you know.
Okay, sorry. You know that.
Okay, so basically this is what happened. The White Sox owner, the owner of the White Sox, his name was Charles Comiskey.
And where are the White Sox?
In Chicago.
The Chicago White Sox.
Chicago White Sox.
Okay.
Versus the Cincinnati Reds.
Got it.
Okay. So the White Sox owner, Charles Comiskey, was a cheapskate.
Okay.
Like, he was cheap. He didn't want... However... Okay, and I'll get there. But he was known to be a miser, basically. Penny pincher. He was a fucking Scrooge McDuck.
Okay. Or,
or an Ebenezer Scrooge. Whoever you want to call him. Okay. So... He was like, you get
what you get, and what is it?
And you're happy with it, don't complain about it, yeah. You get what you get, and that's it. I don't know,
something like, what is it? You get what you get, and...
You shut up with it.
And you... I forgot what it says. It's some little kid. I heard some little kid say it. But it's like, you get what you get, and you don't complain or something.
It's something like that.
Yeah.
Kendall says it.
Does she?
Yeah. Her teacher used to say that to her, like, you get what you get.
Uh-huh.
And shut up.
Okay. So, the players hated him because he wouldn't, like, he was a miser. He was like, here's a quarter. Go, don't spend it all in one place.
Please, sir. I want some more. Right. So,
they said he had an a reputation for underpaying his players. Mm-hmm. But they were the highest paid fucking players in the league.
Were they?
Yeah.
Was it because they had a bunch of, like, fans coming out and they were getting, like, lots of money at the door or in contracts?
Well, this was during fucking World War II. So, I mean, sorry, World War I.
WW1.
Yeah. This was during World War I. So these people were, like, not going. There was nobody in the seats. I mean, there were people, but not as many as before, you know, because only men went to baseball games at that time. Women weren't baseball fans.
When was A League of Their Own?
That was World War II.
Okay. When the Georgia Peaches came out.
Right? Yeah, that was during World War II.
Okay.
That's why I was like, this was World War II. No, it's World War I.
1919.
So, baseball had a reserve clause, which meant that if a player didn't want to take the contract... They could not play, like, a contract with a team.
Yeah.
They couldn't play on any other team. So their team, if I offer you a contract, say I'm the White Sox, right?
Yeah.
I'm offering you a contract.
Yeah.
And you don't want to play for me, but you want to play for this other team that's not offering you a contract.
Right.
Even if they, like, 2 months later were like, hey, we want to sign you, and you refused my contract, you wouldn't be able to play for them either.
So it's like, guess what? If I'm like, I want you, you're fucking mine, pretty
basically,
much. And you can't
go to
anybody else.
You're forced to play for a team.
That's lame.
Right. This was back then. So people, you know, even if they wanted to, like, you couldn't leave your team and go to another team. So basically you were stuck with your team until your team wanted to get rid of you.
So there's a bunch of disgruntled employees, it sounds like.
But again, they were still the highest players in the league at that time.
Because you always need more money. I mean, I could always use more
money.
That's
why they go on strike. And this was before they had a union. They didn't have a union at this time.
Okay, and I read that then afterwards, union.
There was no union. Mm-hmm. So basically, they couldn't, you know, there was nobody to bargain for them.
Okay.
There was nobody basically going to bat for them, pardon the pun. And so it was like, you get what you get and don't get upset. That's what it is.
Okay, you get what you get and don't get upset.
Right.
That's lame.
So,
but I wanted something different.
Right. Okay. So, they couldn't change teams without permission and they didn't have a union. So, and it says, like, Charles Comiskey was probably no worse than other owners because they were all, you know, they, at the time, and like 50 grand was a lot of money at that time. I mean, for us, it's a lot of money.
It's still a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. But I mean, and that's not what they were getting. They weren't getting that much.
Okay.
So like,
like 10 grand is a lot of money for them.
Basically, at the end of this all, the players that were still allowed to play got like a $1,500 bonus. And that was like, I want to say it was like 30 grand at that time.
Oh, okay.
And they were, you know, and they were happy about it.
Thank you.
So,
I want some more.
Mm-hmm. So, there was, in the era of the reserve clause, which is what this was, gamblers could find players on teams looking for extra cash, and they did.
Ah, so the reserve clause is the thing that's like, you're mine, suck it up, buttercup, you get what you get.
Yeah.
Don't complain about it.
Right. And you can't leave.
And you can't leave, so I'm stuck.
You're basically my indentured servant until I let you go. That's basically what it was.
Okay, got it.
I mean, you know, they couldn't transfer teams. Yeah. They couldn't do shit. They were like, if I want you to play for me till you're 45, and
I'm playing for you till I'm 45.
Exactly. You're not gonna transfer teams. You're not doing shit.
That's fucked up.
And I'm gonna pay you
pennies.
$3.
Pennies.
For per game.
You get your ass out of there. You slide the second.
So, on the Chicago White Sox at the time, there was two groups. There was some, they called them the Clean Sox, okay. And then there were the other guys. The other guys were the ones that were like, we're going to do some shit
dirty
and make some extra fucking money.
You dirty Sox.
Right. The guys that were straight-laced and the guys that were willing to, you know, get a little dirty.
So get a little dirty.
Again, pardon the pun.
Get a little dirty.
Okay. So, the bad guys, the dirty Sox. The bad guys. The dirty Sox basically didn't like the Clean Sox. They didn't associate with each other. They didn't speak to each other in the locker room.
And they're on the same fucking team.
They didn't speak to each other on the field.
They're on the same fucking team.
They're on the same team.
Dum-dums.
So it was like, you guys, fine. You don't want to take a little extra whatever. We just won't talk. So they didn't talk.
You know what? If you're not interested in getting this money, I don't have anything to fucking say to you. What I'm trying to proposition to you is an opportunity to make some extra money.
Yeah. Basically, like, I mean, they, you know, maybe they would...
Yo. So
they would call a play or something, but that was about it.
Look at
right.
Mine.
Yeah, right. I got it. Motherfucker. All right. So, yeah. They didn't speak to each other. So, Chick Gandel... He was you know, one of the players. He masterminded this whole thing.
Is this the first baseman?
Chick Gandel. What does it say?
I read an article. I was just, you know.
He is a...
What position?
The White Sox, the Washington Senators, the Cleveland Indians, and the Chicago White Sox. And so he played for the White Sox first in 1910. And then he went to the Washington Senators.
The
Washington Senators.
You're fucking kidding me.
Yeah, and,
you know what? What if the Senators had a baseball team? What if, like, Congress people were out there and they had, like, a fucking baseball team?
The military does. Well, they have a football team. I don't know.
That'd be funny. A bunch of fucking old dudes out there. Old dudes.
Well, not everybody in Congress is old. But
exactly.
Yeah. But, okay, so he played for the Indians, the Senators, and then again for the White Sox.
This is Gandolfini.
And he had a mean and callous expression. Look at his picture. Look what he looks like. He looks like a fucking asshole. Look at him. He looks like the guy that you would, like, cross the street.
He's got a big forehead.
He looks like he would hurt somebody. Yeah, he
does
have a big ass head.
Save it. What was this guy's name?
Chick
Gandel.
Remember when I told you they had weird ass names? His name was Chick.
Yeah, so look at. Here it is right here. So, White Sox first baseman, C. Arnold, Chick Gandel, and a gambler.
His name is Charles, but Chick. Yeah.
So this was the first baseman. I was right.
Okay. So, thank you. He's the first baseman. So he organizes everybody into his room at the Estonia Hotel in New York. Right?
Hey, guys. I'm going to get some chicks tonight. We're going to have some strippers.
His name is Chick.
I'm going to get some strippers tonight. I need you guys all to come to my room.
No. But he called some of the players, and a lot of them, were like, yeah, let's do this. And then there was a couple of guys that were like, we'll just listen to what you have to say.
We'll listen to your presentation.
Right. So there was one of the players, Buck Weaver, again with the names Buck,
yeah,
Chick.
They've got a bunch of nicknames. I did. I felt
Sleepy.
Like, I thought they were seven dwarfs, dude. Like,
yeah,
the names that they had, they do sound like the seven dwarfs.
So Buck Weaver didn't go to the meetings, and he didn't receive any money. But he was banned as well.
Don't ruin the story for us. What happened?
Well, this is his only mention, really. Like, he didn't go nowhere. He didn't do shit. But they were like, well, you're part of it. And he's like, I didn't do shit. And they're like, you're part of it.
But I didn't do shit.
Right. So anyway, okay, so he gets these guys in his room, right? And he's like, here's, how did they say it in the gangster movies?
Here's the deal.
Here's the deal.
All right. Really good.
So Arnold Rothstein.
Here's the con. This is what we're going to do.
Yeah. Arnold Rothstein at the time was a big time mob boss.
Right.
And he ran a gambling ring. Mm-hmm. And so basically it was like, we're going to fucking throw this fucking World Series. We are going to lose. And we're going to get paid to do it. Basically, right?
Right.
So a few...
You guys' pockets about to get greased.
Yeah.
Greased pockets.
And again, an infielder, one of the infielders, Fred McMullen, he was like, oh, you guys are going to do what? So he heard about it.
Right.
And he was like, well, I'm not participating in this shit, but you're going to pay me.
Oh, so yeah. He's one of those dudes.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not involved, but I know what's going on, so you fucking pay me or I'm fucking singing like a canary.
Exactly. And that's exactly what happened. He was like, I'm going to the commissioner. Well, there was no commissioner. I'm going to the boss.
I'm telling daddy.
Basically, yeah, I'm going to Comiskey. You don't fucking pay me, I'm going to tell. Like, okay. So he got paid as well.
I'm telling dad.
I'm telling on y'all. Have you watched The Kids Are All Right?
No.
Oh my God. It's
the movie? Or the series?
The show, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so funny because there's one of the kids is like, his name is Eddie. Mm-hmm. No. Eddie? They're Irish Catholic family and they all have like those names like Eddie.
How about in my big fat Greek wedding, everybody's name is Nikki?
Nikki.
I love that.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Give me a second. I need to
blow your nose.
I need to crack this beer, and I can't turn on the fan here. Open the window because it'll sound like garbage. But do you hear my congestion right now? Like
I hear it now.
Where I've gotten, how far I've come.
Okay. So basically, this is how it went down. They had two pitchers.
Okay.
They had two pitchers, and one of the pitchers, his last name is Faber. What's his name?
Is it Favre?
F-A-B-E-R, Faber.
Faber, okay. That's
just not it. Brett Favre. Is it Favre?
Favre?
It's fucking Faber. Red Faber. Red, okay. Excuse me. He was one of the straight-laced ones. He was one of the ones that was like, don't come to me with this bullshit.
Right.
So he couldn't pitch for some reason. He got the flu during the World Series.
Somebody licked his cup.
Get this motherfucker sick. Go lick that cup. All right, so
go get that dirty whore over there to lick this cup.
South Park, did you see that episode?
No.
They had a disease. Oh my god. There was an episode of South Park where they got this whore, like this prostitute. She had herpes all over her face. She was gross. And they got her to lick their parents' stuff. So they all had like herpes on
their face. They're disgusting.
The phones. She licked the phones and the wine glasses and stuff. It was so gross.
Gross. I did not see that episode of South Park.
I forgot what it was about. This was like, you know, like 20 years ago. South Park has been on for a long time.
I had to stop watching South Park when your son started watching South Park.
What?
Because he was watching it and he was way too young to be watching South Park. And I was just like, I can't watch this because you're not allowed to watch this. I'm just banning South Park.
Well, now he's 17, so he can watch.
Oh, I guess I can watch South Park
he
now.
He can go to R-rated movies.
Oh, my God.
By himself.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. Oh, my God. He can go to NC-17 movies by himself.
Oh, no.
O-M-F-ing-G.
That's disgusting.
Okay. So, anyway, Red Faber couldn't play because he had the fucking flu.
No. He had a whore to lick his cup.
So, oh, my God. And they're like, you know, after everything happened, they were like, well, you know, if he was playing, it probably never would have happened. Because they lost the World Series basically based on pitching. That one.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I read that part. It's just like, seriously, look at summer, let's go, let's get this bitch out.
The fuck are you doing?
Let's get this bitch out. Thinking,
what the fuck, Summer? Come on!
Look, I'm at first base. Come on, here we go. Let's go.
I seen you pitch better.
Look, we got your back. Give it to her. Just give it to her.
So,
we're ex-athletes. We're ex-softball players.
On October 1st, which was the first game 1 during the fucking World Series, people had heard about it. Like, there was rumors about the fix going on, right? So people
because it's nine games.
This is a 9-game fucking, yeah.
So, like, when they're fighting out about it, how many games are we in? Do we know?
This is the first game.
The first game, and people already know there's some shit.
People, yeah.
Because they're betting. Now. They're betting.
Yeah. People are betting, because Arnold Rothstein fixed it. Basically, like, okay, we're going to fix the odds here.
Yeah.
People are going to bet on your fucking team, and you guys are going to lose.
You guys are fucking lose.
Okay.
And shut up.
Uh-huh. And so they're going to get paid to lose. Okay. Lose these games. So the word was out. You know, there was rumors circling. Mm-hmm. And people just started betting on Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. They were just like, you know, and the odds against them, you know, started to fall. So the press box, people in the press box were like, what? Like, you know, people were hearing about this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, okay, let's watch, like, let's seriously watch this shit. Let's watch the plays. Let's see what happens.
Right.
Like, we're going to see if this is the fucking fix is in. Okay.
The fix is in.
Right. But the fans and the you know, people watching the games were like, nah, you know, they didn't believe it.
Right. Like, why would somebody fix the World Series? It's the World motherfucking Series, and everybody makes it here. This is an honor to be here. So if you're over here, you know, fucking around, knock it off.
Right. So, So, basically...
This is what I heard.
The first pitch...
This is what I heard.
The first pitch was a strike. And it was... what's this guy's name? Psychot.
Let's call him Dopey.
Dopey. His name is... His name is, it's one of those names. Buck? Is he Buck Sycott? Eddie. I'm sorry. His name is Eddie. Eddie Sycott, right?
Does she call me Buck?
He's pitching. So his first game, the first pitch he throws is a fucking strike. The second fucking pitch he throws hits the fucking batter in the back.
Dude, you know what that was, right?
That basically, yeah, that was like, okay, the fix is in. We're doing this.
Yeah. That was the sign. That was like, yeah, it was like the steel sign. It's like, all right. I'm knocking. Let's go.
Yeah, basically, like,
we're in.
Fuck the guy that gets hit with the ball, right? Like,
don't you peg me? That's why they would charge the mound. You know, like, are you fucking kidding me?
First. So yeah, basically, like, okay, this is happening. So we're gonna do this. Maury Rath was his name. He got hit in the fucking back.
Fuck that.
And
fuck that.
In the fourth inning, the pitcher Sycott made a bad throw to, again, another fucking weird ass name, Swede Risberg. At second base, and so the writers were like, and she was trying to throw a double play, and they were like,
"Are you fucking kidding me?"
Yeah, the writers, the sports
you can't
writers
throw the ball were to like, second base.
WTF?
Get out of here!
Yeah, root the Ferk, Swede.
Root the Ferk.
Root the Ferk. So yeah, they were like, okay, there's some fucking weird shit going on.
There's fuckery going on here.
Basically, yeah. So then Lefty Williams lost 3 fucking games. In
what?
The series.
What do you mean Lefty Williams lost 3 games?
He was a pitcher.
Okay.
He basically, based on bad pitching, like walking fucking batters, throwing fucking...
That's what throwing wild balls, hitting people, walking people.
Walking people, throwing fucking, like,
lobs,
home runs.
Throwing
basically,
lobs.
Yeah, lobbing it to them. Fucking, basically, he lost 3 of the fucking games.
Bullshit.
Summer! Stop! This was a series record. Like, who loses? What pitcher loses 3 fucking games?
I'm calling the substitution right here. I'm gonna call it.
Hey, motherfucker.
Get this motherfucker off the mound.
She's tired. Get her out of here.
Killing us. Fucking killing us.
Right. So they Dickie Kerr. Excuse me. another pitcher.
Whoa.
That's the bear.
Dickie Kerr.
He was another pitcher. He won both of his fucking, like, when he was pitching, he won.
And he's on the Dirty Sox.
No, he's not.
He's the White Sox.
Yes. Okay. He's a White Sox. A White Sox. A White Sox pitcher. But he's not. He's not a part of the face.
Okay.
So people were starting to get pissed because Dickey Kerr wasn't a part of the fix, and he fucking won two games. Yeah. And they were like, oh, we want our money back, right?
Sit that motherfucker down.
Yeah, there were people were like, can we get our money back? And so the basically the bookies were like, oh, the money's already been paid out to these guys. Like, you know, so people couldn't get their money back. And after game five, the players who were in on the fix went back to their normal way of playing, right? So they won game six and seven.
Well, this is what I read. So as they're losing games and, you know, falling behind and, you know, playing the fucking game, they hadn't been paid.
No, they hadn't yet.
They hadn't been paid. Mm-mm. So I think they got disgruntled, like, where's my $3,000? Where's my $10,000?
It was five.
Five. Here's my $5,000.
Or more. Oh, damn. Chick Gamble got 35 grand.
Yeah, it was in between that. Like, different involvement, different levels of involvement, different payouts.
Yeah, and he was the mastermind, so he got the most.
They weren't getting paid. Right. So what they were like, well, fuck this. If we're not going to get paid, we're bored of getting our asses fucking kicked. Guess what? I don't like to fucking lose. I'm not going
to
be
Nobody safe. Likes to lose.
Nobody likes to fucking lose. So what? I don't care how much I'm getting paid. Like, I don't care.
Well, again, you've already fucking cahooted with a gangster. This motherfucker will kill you.
I'm dead.
Don't fuck with him.
I'm fucking dead. But they got bored and they weren't getting paid. Right. So that's why they started coming back.
They started playing. They were like, fuck it. The fix.
Fix
right?
is off. Fuck it.
But, so they won, game six and seven.
This is what I heard.
They won. Yeah. But they started getting threatened. Right. They were like, we're going to fuck you up. You're not going to be playing no baseball after this.
I'm going to break your fucking legs.
I'm going to break your fucking wrist.
Lefty, you're going to become a righty. I'm going to break your fucking arm.
Okay, I'm going to break your fucking arms. I'm going to break your fucking legs. You ain't going to be playing shit. You're going to be playing cards in the old folks' home.
Yeah, you see Dickie and Donna outside?
Dickie and Donna.
You want to keep them safe? I'll kill your fucking kids.
Oh, my God.
Get out there.
So, at game eight, they started to fuck up again.
Great.
Right. So they
Brandy, Dickie and Donna are the twins.
Dickie and Donna, right?
They're the twins.
See, again, the manager's name was Kid.
She rolled her eyes so hard. Kid right now.
Anyway, so what's his name? Lefty Williams.
Yeah. Lefty.
Lefty started the fucking game pitching. He's the one that was throwing the fucking games.
Yeah, yeah.
He basically gave up four fucking one-out hits for three runs, and then the fucking manager was like, get the fuck out. Get off that fucking mound.
Get out of here.
Get your fucking ass out of here.
Get out of here.
So they lost game eight of the fucking series, right? On October 9th, 1919, and then
well, here's the thing. I'm sorry. If they didn't pull out of, like, if they didn't win anything, there wouldn't have been nine games.
If they right. would have no, yeah, they won. They won best of nine.
Exactly.
You have to win at least five games.
At least four.
Right. No, five games.
You need to win at least four to continue on to nine.
Yeah.
The winner wins five, but if they would have just sat on their asses and done nothing for five games, it would have been five games.
Yeah, but then that would have been obvious. That would have been real obvious. That would have been real fucking obvious.
Like, losers.
The fuck?
Hey, losers.
The fuck did you guys do?
Right.
Okay, so, I mean, who gets shut out in a fucking World Series?
Hasn't that happened recently? No.
A three-game World Series?
How many games are the World Series?
Seven.
So they would have had to win at least four.
Again, this is a nine-game series here.
Right, I'm just telling you the math.
They would have had to win five games.
I already said
lose
that.
Five. No, you said four.
I said they would have had
to. You said they would have had to lose.
They would have had to win at least four to make it to the ninth game.
What are you talking about? Oh, the White Sox.
Yes! Oh, my God.
Oh, like, what the fuck are you talking about?
What the fuck are you talking about?
Anyway. Okay. So.
Okay.
Hey, you're confusing. Look, don't talk to me about no math. Okay. So. So, okay. Besides Weaver, whoever the fuck Weaver is. Who's Weaver? Who's this Weaver guy?
Who's this Weaver
guy? Who the heck is Weaver?
Dreamweaver.
Buck Weaver. Buck fucking Weaver. That was the asshole who
Buck
was like.
Buck fucking Weaver.
Yeah, he was the one that was like, because he went to the meetings, but he didn't get any money.
This is the guy who was like, I will listen, but I'm not interested.
Yeah. Okay. But guess what?
Yeah.
You were there.
You were a conspirator.
And you knew about it.
Co-conspirator? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, basically. Mm-hmm. So he didn't get any money. But the players who were involved got $5,000 each or more. And fucking Gandel got $35,000.
That's bullshit.
So the basically, after this fucking series, people were like, this shit was fixed. It was fixed. It was fixed. It was fixed.
It was fixed.
It took a year. It took a fucking year before the fucking, and it was rumors. Rumors dogged the White Sox throughout the 1920 season. So they were playing baseball. Yeah. Business as fucking usual, right? And
they're like, we got away with it. We got away with it.
So in September, basically almost a whole fucking year before the first game of the fucking World Series, they convened a grand jury.
Finally.
And of course, Eddie Cycott, the one who basically was like, the fix is in, the one who pegged the fucking batter, was like, oh, okay, it happened. I did it. he said.
He bitched up.
Yes. He wrote a confession letter.
No.
Yes. He fucking confessed and wrote a fucking letter.
Bitch.
And so he confessed his participation to the grand jury on September 28th.
Get like the slightest bit of pressure around your neck and you bitch up. Take it for a few more seconds. Guess what? They're gonna give up. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So, it says on the eve of their final series, their final season series, the White Sox were in a virtual tie for first place with the fucking Cleveland Indians. They needed to win 3 games.
What is that?
They only had 3 games.
That's so not appropriate, culturally appropriate.
All of their 3 remaining games. And hope that Cleveland would stumble as the Indians had more games left to play than the White Sox. Because so, basically, the Sox had 3 games left. Yes. And they had to win all 3.
Okay.
The Indians, the Native Americans.
I was going to say the Native Americans.
Had more games to play.
Oh, so there were chances of them.
Chances were higher that they would shut out, but they would take the place of the
White Sox.
White Sox for the pennant.
Got it.
So, but they didn't even have a chance. The season, basically, at the end, those games, basically, Charles Comiskey, the owner, was like, fuck all of you. You 8 motherfuckers.
Ooh.
Who were named by your freaking teammate, Mr. Cycott over here.
Oh!
You guys are suspended.
Oh, shit. So, okay. So, they're like, what was Cycott? Lefty. What was his name? Lefty?
Eddie. Eddie Cycott.
You. We need to talk. I did it. So, then he goes.
Well, he confessed to the grand jury.
Then he snitches and names for the other people.
Uh-huh.
And so then they're looped into the fucking shit showery.
Right.
Fucking asshole.
They get suspended.
Listen here.
Even people who didn't, again.
If you're a true fucking gangster, you don't say fucking shit.
He's not a gangster. Chick Gandel's the gangster because he's the one who orchestrated this whole thing.
Listen here. Don't fuck with me if you're not a gangster. Don't fuck with me. Don't fuck with me. Mm-hmm. Don't fucking put my name in your mouth singing my name. Get out of here.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he's saying like
he's not a gangster.
There. He's not a gangster at all.
He's a bitch.
Yeah. He's like, I did it. I'm sorry. So, what the hell just happened?
I don't know.
What the freak? Okay. Basically, okay. They're suspended. And basically, they fucked up. So they didn't win the pennant. The rest, because they were down 8 men. And what, a team.
Oh, so they can't play. They're like, so did they get the pennant then?
They could still play.
With one player.
There's not even on the field. The team has like 19 players.
Yeah, you're right. Replace
There's this. Other people that are sitting in
I'm
the dugout.
Really with one player. Let me see how that's going to happen.
Who the fuck's gonna play now?
What you gonna do without me? I'm gonna warm up this guy over here.
So he was like, Charles Comiskey was like, I had no choice. I had to suspend them because it's gonna fucking, they're not gonna be able to play, like, seriously, like, people are gonna be doubting any fucking winnings that we get.
Yeah.
Like, we're, this, you know, our name, the fucking White Sox name, is on the line.
I heard fucking Kamansky was involved.
No, he wasn't involved.
I heard he was involved.
Okay.
What I had heard
Kominsky.
Was Kominsky. And what's the guy's name? The gangster? What's the gangster's name? Richard?
I don't know.
What's his name?
I don't know.
The gangster.
Mm.
He says, yo, Kominsky.
Well, listen to this, though.
Okay. We got something going on, Kominsky. And we're going to get this money, Kominsky. And Kominsky's like, okay.
Check it out.
Talk to this guy.
Chick Gandel left the team.
Chick Gandel. Talk to that motherfucker.
After the fucking World Series of 1919, he left. He didn't return in 1920.
Oh.
He fucking went down to playing minor league baseball.
What a bitch.
He
knew what he did. He knew he was in trouble.
He busted himself down to sergeant, basically.
Okay. He demoted himself.
Yes. So, he didn't come back to the fucking team. He was playing semi-pro ball.
Yeah.
And he said, well, Kominsky said, yeah, he had no choice. And the White Sox lost two of those three fucking games that they needed to win. Against the fucking St. Louis Browns, and they finished in second place.
They're called, their names are so fucking basic. Like, you're the Browns, and the Reds, and the Whites. What was the other color? What was the other team?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Who did they play that they needed? The Indians. The fucking Cowboys and the Indians and the Reds and the Whites.
Well, the Cowboys are a football team.
But what I'm saying is their names are super basic.
Well, what is a Dodger? Do they dodge balls?
No. There's no Dodgers in 1919. We're not talking about the Dodgers.
There were Dodgers,
right now,
but they were in New York.
We're talking about the Whites. We're talking about the Reds. We're talking about the Browns.
Brooklyn.
And we're talking about the Indians.
Brooklyn. Check this out, though. 1919.
Dodgers know how to dodge punches.
This, before 1919, in 1918, Babe Ruth played for the fucking White Sox. Mm. So had he still, he got traded. After that year.
Because somebody was like, I want you. Because how do you get traded? Because they win, right? They have to win, and then he can be traded?
Well, he's a home run hitter. Everybody wants
him. Remember you said they had the thing where they couldn't get out of a contract until what?
Oh, yeah, the team traded him, yeah.
Oh, they're like, baby!
So, yeah, that's what's funny. I was like, damn, Babe Ruth wasn't involved in this because he left the team.
He lucked out.
Yeah.
He lucked
but
out.
But I don't know. Do you think he would have been involved in this?
The Babe?
Yeah.
I don't know about his character. But he's a fucking boss. I think, like, he, as long as he can, like, knock out home runs, because we never heard about, like...
But he struck out most of the time.
But, like, did you hear anything about, his defensive position? Like, what position did he even play? He was a pitcher?
He was a pitcher.
Okay, so I know nothing about Babe Ruth. I just knew, like, he just, like, you know, knocked him out of the park. That's all
yeah,
I know.
He was a pitcher. Okay, anyway. So, on June 27, 1921, they held a trial. And so, okay. The fucking trial was delayed because the judge, basically, two defendants, Ben Franklin and Carl Zork, who were players, baseball
Benjamin
players.
Franklin?
Ben Franklin, his name was Ben Franklin. They said they were sick.
Did he invent electricity?
No, he fucking cheated at baseball. And then Shane O'Collins, another player, was claimed as the wronged party in the indictments. Basically, it was like the people... The team members who didn't participate were the wronged party.
Right.
So, he was accusing his teammates of costing him $1,784.
Give the man his money.
So, that was basically the basis of the trial.
Wait a minute. So, it got brought up because a player who was wronged...
There has to be a party. There has to be a wronged party.
Right. And they...
Right. It can't just be like, well, you guys fucked up and did this thing.
They filed suit, pretty much, and said that you guys owe us X amount of money, $1,700.
Right. For this. You owe me.
You owe me.
It's this one player who is named as the wronged party.
So he set it off.
But they...
He's like, I could have got him. I could have fucking paid.
Well, again, you know, I guess that was a lot of money back then, but... Before
I mean,
the fucking trial,
I
guess what happened?
$1,700.
Guess what?
I could do a plenty.
Some fucking evidence goes missing.
Oh, I heard about this. Yes.
So, the fucking confession letter goes missing. Just goes missing, right?
And that's the song that Gandel sang.
That Eddie Sycott sang. And also,
Sycott.
Yeah, and also another player, Jackson. I don't know what his first name is. I'm not going to look it up because I don't care. Who subsequently recanted. They fucking went back and were like, no, we didn't say that.
Sorry.
They recanted their confessions, too.
Oh, you had me in a room and I sang like a bird. Just kidding. Didn't happen.
However, guess how, some years later, just it doesn't say how many, some years later, those fucking letters pop up.
They popped up.
They pop up in fucking Charles Comiskey's lawyer's office. He has the fucking, the letters.
They should have burned them. That would have been the smartest thing to do, no?
Have you never, I mean, have you noticed that this shit never gets destroyed? Like, somebody is always finding this shit.
You're a fucking idiot. Like, if you've got evidence in your hands and you don't want anybody to see it, don't fucking save it. Mm-hmm. Don't save it. Get rid of it.
So, okay, on July 1st of that same year, one of the players, Sleepy Bill Burns. Sleepy Bill Burns. He was also indicted for his part. He fucking decided to fucking, he was going to testify. He turned to his evidence. He was like, I'm going to testify.
Well, I heard a bunch of them.
So I not, heard.
This is what I read. I think it was on history.com. But not only did they have, you know, that main deal going on with the mafia guy or whatever. Mm. They were doing side deals.
Probably.
They were like, we're supposed to win, but I'm going to throw the game. So let's work a deal. Let's work different
they
players.
They probably did.
Or working deals and getting their money while they can get their money in.
Yeah, probably. So I do not doubt that.
There's a lot of shit going on. So the people that are like, okay, I want to confess.
Yeah, so.
They were in it.
But during the trial and shit, people were acting like no big deal. Like, let's be.
NBD.
They were being chummy with, you know, the people who were being indicted. They're all being chummy. The fucking manager was like, tickling fucking players and shit.
Their balls.
Weirdness going on.
Tickling
those. Yeah, yeah, they Buck Weaver apparently was super ticklish, so like they would tickle him. And so the fucking manager, kid fucking Gleason, was tickling fucking Buck Weaver. Weird.
That's
right?
Weird.
Yeah. So they began to testify on July 18, 1921. And he basically outlined the evidence he planned to present, blah blah blah, who cares? And, like, there was little kids in the courtroom. Like, people were just like, wow. Like, you know, they wanted to see what would happen. Like,
right.
People were bringing their little boys. Because I'm not always little kids. There wasn't girls there. There was little boys there, and there was grown-ass men there. People dressed up, you know, they were wearing long sleeves and shit. And it was hot. It was the summer. It was fucking July. And there wasn't air conditioning back then.
And they're in Chicago.
They're up in there burning up. Yeah. They were sweating. Fucking courtroom.
Man, I'm awfully fancy.
Fucking Satan was sitting behind the judge pointing a fucking pitchfork at him like, your ass is coming
sweat.
With me.
Sweat.
Right.
You're gonna die. You're gonna die.
So, yeah. They were fucking hot up in there. I think back then they could open windows.
Like, I'm sure they
could.
The
little courthouse.
Open a fucking door, dude.
But, yeah. So.
1919, open a door. I'm sorry, 1920, open a door.
It was 1921.
Oh, pardon me.
Huh?
Pardon moi.
Okay. I don't speak French. These people are stupid. Okay, so Bill Burns, Sleepy Bill Burns, mentioned that fucking Arnold Rothstein was involved in this fucking, you know.
That's the mobster guy.
The
Arnold
mobster.
Rothstein.
Arnold Rothstein, yes. And it always reminds me of Sam Rothstein from Casino, because that was Robert De Niro's character, Sam Rothstein.
You love you some Robert De Niro.
Did you? Yeah.
Like,
if he wasn't married,
that was
I
the
would,
lawyer, right?
I would
the
marry
Jew.
Him.
He loves black women.
What?
His wife is black.
What lawyer?
You said the Jew.
That's what they called him on Casino.
Robert De Niro?
Yes, because his name was Sam Rothstein. He was Jewish.
Oh, yeah.
On the movie.
I remember that was the longest fucking movie I ever sat through in my life, and I was like
oh my
eight.
God.
I was like eight.
No,
Mom made us watch Casino.
Let's pause. You weren't eight. I was a freaking sophomore in high school.
Okay.
And so you were in eighth grade.
Okay.
So you were in eighth.
Do you see the snot coming
from
me?
It's really gross. Really gross.
Okay, so how old am I? If I'm not eight, how old am I? 11.
13.
Eighth grade? Oh, eighth grade. Okay.
What the hell?
You're right.
11 years old in eighth grade? What the hell? You genius?
Shut up. I am a genius. I need you. Come on.
I can't find it. So, look, the most explosive testimony began the following day when Sleepy Bill Burns took the stand admitting that members of the White Sox had intentionally fixed the 1919 World Series. Burns mentioned the involvement of Rothstein, among others, and testified that Eddie Sycott had threatened to throw the ball clear out of the park if he needed to lose a game.
I'm going to throw this shit.
I'm going to throw this shit way the hell out of the park.
Fuck it. If I gotta lose, I gotta lose.
Because
exactly.
Oh,
he's the one who got the most money. He had the most to, like, he honestly had the most to lose and to gain.
No, Eddie Sycott did not. He was the one who initiated the, basically signaled that the fix was in. Fucking chick, what's his face?
Gandalf.
Got the most money.
Well, okay, sorry.
But, so after the rest of the testimony, the defense rested and the jury fucking deliberated. And it took them less than 3 hours to basically return verdicts of not guilty on all charges for all the fucking accused players.
Ah! That just shocks me right now, because I swear I thought they were guilty.
They are guilty.
No, they did this shit.
Listen, Linda.
If the glove don't fit, you must acquit.
Here's the thing. Here's the fucking thing. I know you did this shit. You just fucking admitted you did this shit, and I'm going to say you're not guilty now?
You're wagging your finger in my face, and it's quite aggressive.
I shot your dog.
Oh.
I shot him. I shot your dog.
I have a girl dog, so you didn't shoot her.
But you're not guilty. What the fuck? Yeah, exactly. Listen, I sat at my kitchen table, and I wrote out a plan to murder your dog. Okay? This is what happened. I said, I'm going to take this fucking 9mm gun.
Let's not talk about killing my dog.
I'm just saying. And now, these assholes over here are going to say, but I'm not guilty of killing your dog.
I confess, and you're telling me I'm not guilty.
Exactly. You're pissed because your dog's dead.
Of course.
And these fucking 8 other assholes over here who don't know you or me from a fucking hole in the wall say I'm not guilty. How are you feeling right now?
I'm pissed.
I just said I killed your dog.
I'm going to kill you.
I just said I planned the murder.
I'm going to kill you because you killed my dog.
Okay, there it is. He just confessed. He told about everything that he did to fucking be involved and all of his teammates and other fucking people.
I don't buy it. Testified. Sounds like bullshit to me.
That these motherfuckers threw these games.
No.
But now they're not guilty.
Not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
They're obviously confused.
So after this shit, right? Well, actually, before the trial, on November 12th. 1920, I believe. No way. Upon taking prior off. Anyway, so that's when they started. They decided we fucking need a baseball commissioner. So you know they appointed Judge Kennesaw Mountain Landis.
That sounds like a Lannister name to me. That's his fucking Mountain Lannister. What's your fucking name?
The mountain isn't a Lannister.
I understand that, but it sounds like a bunch of bad shit whipped into a name. What's this guy's name again?
His name is Kennesaw.
Kennesaw.
Mountain.
Landis.
Lannister.
He's so dumb. He's a bad...
Lannister.
He's a bad motherfucker. Just tell you right
he
now.
He was a federal judge. He was appointed the fucking baseball commissioner. He was the first baseball commissioner.
He's 6'8".
Ever.
300 pounds.
So, yeah.
He's a mountain.
November 12th, 19, he signed the papers and he became the fucking baseball commissioner. So the first thing he does is like, okay, well, guess what, motherfuckers? Y'all ain't playing no baseball no more. So he basically put them on an ineligible list.
Hey, so do you remember like 2 years ago when you guys threw a fucking game and then you guys got off on it? For all of that, you can no longer play in my fucking club. Get the fuck out of here. You can never play again. You're never banned.
In the league.
Bye.
Ever. So, yeah. From professional baseball, they've banned. Nope. Guess what? That means now you can't even be nominated to the Baseball Hall of Fame.
You can't sit with us.
You can't sit with us.
You cannot sit with us.
You don't even get a fucking asterisk. You cannot be even... Your name is not going to show on this fucking
list. Dead.
So, yeah. Following the players' acquittals, Landis was quick to quash any prospect that he might reinstate the players. He was like, no, fuck them.
Fuck this.
Never. Fuck them. Basically, it was like, you brought shame to the game of baseball. Yeah.
Shame.
So, that happened the day after they were acquitted. It was like, no.
Yeah.
No.
Because, like, you guys fucking got off and you think you're going to get away scot-free... You know what? Fuck you. Mm-hmm. I don't fucking trust you. I don't want you on any of my fields.
That's what he said.
Exactly. Because he was like, if you even look or even think about or talk about or listen to the idea of you guys shaming our fucking name and cheating and throwing a game just for like, you know, what's that? Profit, gain, or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fuck you. You're not invited to play in my club anymore. Get out.
Yeah, so basically, his verdict said, regardless of the verdict of juries, no player who throws a ball game, no player who undertakes or promises to throw a ball game, no player who sits in confidence with a bunch of crooked ball players and gamblers,
damn,
where the ways and means of throwing a game are discussed and does not promptly tell his fucking club about it, will ever play professional baseball again.
Bye-bye.
Like, you motherfuckers, if you didn't do it, you knew about it. And you don't get to play baseball anymore. Mm. And guess what? Can't you don't even get to get on the fucking list of baseball players ever. So, suck on that licorice stick.
Suck on that licorice stick. And guess what? You can't fucking sit with us.
Yeah. So, it says, excuse me. They, previous players had also been, banned from the Pacific Coast League, because back then they had the Pacific Coast League. Now they have the American League and they have the National League. They have those two leagues now.
Okay.
Back then they had the fucking Pacific Coast League. They had the American League and they had there was a few leagues.
Pacific Coast High.
Basically there was a precedent that had gotten some people kicked out. Babe Borton, Harl Maggart. That looks like it should be, like, Merle Haggard. It's Harl fucking Maggard. What kind of name is Harl?
Harl.
Gene Dale and Bill Rumler, they got banned from the Pacific Coast League for fucking match fixing. So he was like, okay, that's what's going to happen. You guys are going on this list. Bye-bye. And the commissioner took the line that while the players had been acquitted, there was no dispute that they'd broken the rules of baseball and none of them could ever be allowed back to play the game. And if it were to regain... if the game was to regain the trust of the public. So basically, yeah, you guys fucking brought shame on our name.
Shame.
Comiskey supported Landis by giving the 7 who remained under contract to the White Sox their unconditional release. He was like, you guys can go.
Fuck off.
You can go. So,
hey, you, fuck off.
Yeah, you guys can go, One of them was Hal Chase, who had been effectively blackballed from the majors in 1919 for a long history of throwing games. So he'd been fucking throwing games anyway.
He ain't got nothing better to do.
And, and had spent 1920 in the minors. He was rumored to have been a go-between for Gamble and the Gamblers, though it was never confirmed.
Guess what, cheater? If you fucking cheat, you're going to get caught and you're never going to be able to play again. Mm-hmm. Is it fucking worth it? No, it's not.
Yeah. So basically, okay. Their name, Arnold Chick Gandel, Eddie Sycott, Happy, his name was Oscar. Oscar Happy Felch was a center fielder. Shoeless Joe Jackson, who basically they were like arguing like he didn't do anything. Like,
it's messed. There are a few like innocent people, bystanders in it.
He was like the best player on the team, the star outfielder.
Yeah, he's a star athlete. He's like, fuck you guys, I'm not involved, but I'm on the fucking team.
Yeah, but he confessed to accepting money. So
he took money.
And then later said he didn't. And he died in 1951, and up until then he was like I didn't. But he had first said he did, so
poor guy.
Who the fuck knows. Fred McMullen, the utility infielder, Charles Swede Risberg, who was a shortstop, Buck Weaver, George was his first name, he was a third baseman, Claude Lefty Williams, the pitcher, and also banned was Joe Gideon, a second baseman for the St. Louis Browns. Gideon placed bets, and when he learned of the fix from Risberg, which was his friend, so he got fucking banned, and he wasn't even on the team.
He had insider trading.
He wasn't even on the fucking team, and he got banned.
Good for you. Bully for you.
Bully for you. Bully for you. Bully. Bully. So after being banned, Risberg and several other members of the Black Sox tried to organize a 3-state barnstorming tour. I don't know what the fuck that's supposed to mean, and I'm not going to look it up because I don't care. It doesn't have to be. However, they were forced to cancel those plans after Landis let it be known that anyone who played with or against them would also be banned from baseball for life.
Wow. Let's take a break.
Yeah. Pee-pee time.
Yeah.
Do I look like Easter?
It looks like Easter's.
Easter's. So, those players have been banned from the league. And it says, with 7 of their best players permanently sidelined, the White Sox crashed into 7th place in 1921.
7?
1921.
That's not that bad.
7th place, yeah. And would not be a factor in the pennant race again until 1936, 5 years after Comiskey's death. They would not win another American League championship until 1959, a then-record 40-year gap, nor another World Series until 2005, prompting some comment about a curse of the Black Sox.
There is a curse.
Yeah. So basically, that was it. The guys who were banned are called the Eight Men Out.
Oh!
Yeah. So. That is the story of the fucking Black Sox scandal of 1919.
Motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm.
These motherfuckers.
Motherfucker.
Motherfuckers. So, like, I was trying to not drink today. I was like, it's Easter. I'm going to be sober.
Today's the day you can break the your Lent.
I don't Lent.
I know. But what I'm saying is people who, like, abstain from drinking for 40 days.
They're getting loose today.
They could, yeah. Today was the day they could break their
good fast. Job, guys. We did it.
It was today.
Look at, we did it.
Yeah.
Well done. Mm-hmm. Well done. Great epi. All right, Brandy. So apparently dinner's ready.
Okay.
Apparently winter has come.
Some like four blocks away, but okay.
Yeah. Tell me about your thumbs up. You said you had something for me.
Oh yeah, my thumbs up for this week is okay. So I have been what y'all doing Easter? What the heck, my son?
Who dat?
Texts me. What y'all doing Easter?
Your son is. He sent me a text message yesterday. I'm talking to mom on the phone. He was like, "Are you home?" I was like, "Why?"
At your house?
Yeah. I was like, "Why?" And he was like, "Oh, I'm at Gam's house and the door's locked." I was like, "She's home. Are you sure?" I'm like, "I'm on the phone with her. She's at home." Duh. And so mom's like, "Oh, I'll let him in." But he was like, "I on in, like, I don't know," or something. And it was like, "I on in," or something. I was like, stop it right now. Like, use your English language that you've learned.
Girl, don't get me started about that boy. Okay. Anyway, okay, so.
Thumbs up.
I had been looking, like, I'm always looking for, like, ways to, like, you know, make shit happen.
Okay.
And I had seen this, I think it was last year or so. Yeah, before I started bullet journaling, which I did last year.
Did you call it bullet journaling?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Because, like, last year I started bullet journaling. That lasted for, like, 4 months. 4 months? I think I started in January. It lasted till April. So, yeah, about 4 months I bullet journaled. But I had seen this thing called the Miracle Morning. I like did a little bit of research on it, and I was like, "Oh, okay, it's a book by this guy named Hal Elrond." Elrond.
That sounds too close, like Elrond Herbert to me, or whatever the fuck.
Hubbard. Old Elrond Herbert.
Old Mother Herbert. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah. I believe Hal Elrond. I have the book. Hold on.
Is it good?
Hal Elrond.
What I was trying to confess to you earlier is, like, I was drinking before you got here. Like, when I texted...
I know.
When I texted you guys, I was, like, too early for mimosas. And
I saw that.
Mom was like, never. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Mm-hmm. I saw that. Hell Elrond. It's Elrond. Okay.
Isn't that the same guy?
I said Elrond.
Oh, okay.
Before, and you said, what did you say, Elrond Herbert?
What did Forrest Gump say? I'm not a smart man.
But I know what love is. Okay, basically, okay. So, the Miracle Morning is basically you wake up early. You wake up about an hour early every morning. An hour earlier than you usually normally wake up. And you perform.
You're so stupid.
You're so ridiculous. What is happening right now?
That will never happen for me for 4 fucking months. I can wake up.
No.
Listen.
What do you mean 4 months?
I can wake up. You did it for 4 months.
No.
What is this?
I bullet journaled for four months.
Okay, because I was like an hour early. Fuck you. Fuck you. Never.
No, dum dum. Okay, so this is what it is. This is the Miracle Morning.
Where's my Kleenex?
The Miracle Morning is a book, right? But it's basically based on this thing. You wake up about an hour early every morning and do. You can wake up earlier than an hour earlier if you want to.
Okay.
And you perform what is called lifesavers. And it's these six things that you do. So the SAVERS is an acronym for silence, affirmations, visualization, exercise, reading, and scribing. Which okay. Scribing is writing.
Okay.
You do these for, you can break it up into each thing is 10 minutes, which makes up the hour that's 60 minutes. Or you can, you know, do 5 minutes of meditation and 15 minutes of writing or 30 minutes of exercise and then 5 minutes of
mix it up however you need to.
Yeah, right. Or if you do it, you know, you can do it for longer than an hour, whatever. But basically, this is supposed to basically be able to make you more effective, more efficient, more, you know, able to get stuff done, have things, you know, happening, make things happen in your life.
Okay.
Whether it's your work life, personal life, whatever. Yeah. Romantic life, you know, your things are supposed to start to happen for you.
Okay.
So I did the Miracle Morning. I wanted to start it because I was like, I need to do something. Like, I need to get up. I wasn't waking up early at all. I was getting up at like 10 because I wouldn't fall asleep until like 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, I need to sleep. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the science on sleep is that you cannot, you know, you can't function without sleep. You have to sleep at least 6 hours, period. And that's based on science. Well, this book is like, well, you don't actually need that much sleep. I'm like, I still need that much sleep. So I try to go to bed earlier.
I do.
But in the book, he's like, how much sleep do you really need? You can sleep on 3 hours. I'm like, no, that's bullshit. That part is bullshit. But
that part is bullshit.
Yeah, but the theory of the lifesavers is where I focus. Because the book basically is like a lot of like self-aggrandizing. I think he does a lot of, you know, well, my clients, people that I work with, it changes all these lives. But I'm like, I don't care about all that. I don't care about them. I don't want to know their stories. I just want to see, you know, these activities that I should be doing in order to make shit happen for myself. So I started doing that. I woke up on Thursday. I woke up at 6. I actually woke up at 5:45, but I laid in bed for an hour. So I got up at 6:45.
Actually, laid in bed.
I laid in bed. Like, I was in that between state where I was awake, but, you know, it was like a wakeful sleep, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, and then on Friday, I woke up. I got up at 5:45, and I did my silence. I did my affirmations. I did my visualization. I did yoga. I did,
Good job.
I found a 10-minute yoga video on,
YouTube.
Yep. Yeah. And then, you know, I did my reading. I did my...
Right on.
So, and then I noticed that I actually did get... And I was like, you know, I used to do in my happy planner. I used to plan my day.
Happy planner.
Yeah. The happy planner, you know what the happy planner is?
No.
Okay. We'll talk about that later. But I used to, you know, plan out my day. But I wouldn't get everything on my list done. Like, I tried to get, like, there was I would put, like, three to five things on my list. And I'd get, like, one done. And I'd be, like...
bummed that you only got one done.
Yeah. You know, I'd be like, fuck, where am I focusing my time?
I don't think I'd make a list just because, like, I know what I need to accomplish.
But seeing it makes it easier for me to remember to do
that,
it.
That helps me with, like, sales goals and numbers goals and stuff, like, actually visualizing the number. But I feel you. That's amazing, though. That's really good.
Yeah, so I actually, you know, like, published a fucking article. Yay. That I had been meaning to get. I meant to get that shit done, like, at the beginning of the month.
I published a blog yesterday.
End of the month. So I feel like the Miracle Morning is helpful. I tried to do it yesterday. I woke up at 10. And so that didn't happen.
Must be nice.
That was because...
you don't sleep well.
Norman, I don't sleep well. And Norman, like, I was asleep. And Norman was fucking with me. So, like...
While you were sleeping?
Uh-huh.
No.
Like, I was asleep, and then all of a sudden, I... Like, there was a face right here in my face. Like, this close to my face, going like this. And I was like... And I woke up, and I was like, whack! And I was like, what are you doing? And he was like, what? I'm not doing my own business. Like, you know, he just likes to
like,
fuck
if
with
you
me.
Got slapped, you obviously weren't minding your business because you're like, in my space.
Like, and you know how you wake up, and there's a face in front of you.
No.
Like, you react. No. You don't just be like, oh, hey, how you doing? No. And so I was like, what are you doing? Like, stop messing with me. I'm trying to sleep.
That's super fucked up. Like, I told you Jamal tried to wake me up when he came home last night. And
yeah.
I didn't wake up. I was dead.
Yeah. I was dead.
Listen. Okay.
I had died.
Yesterday was April 20th. You know what day it was.
And then
and there was that, huh?
And it was that too. But then I got that's when my cold came on yesterday. Like, I went to the store with mom and stuff, and I ran errands. And then all of a sudden, I was like, oh, I feel it. I'm getting sick. Cause
you felt it coming out. I hate that. I hate when you
when you feel it coming out of your body.
It's not everybody's like when you woke sick. Up sick. You felt it.
Everybody's been sick. Jamal's sick. The baby's sick. Yeah. Kendall's sick. Yeah. Brendel's sick. And my husband's sick. And so I've been fighting it like I've been good for like a week. And then yesterday, it finally hit me. I'm in fucking Walmart. I'm just like, ugh.
All of a sudden, a fucking, like, a bird sat on your fucking...
So and just
like a,
shit.
Like a condor.
And shit on my fucking parade.
A condor landed on your
shoulders. My nose got congested. It started running. I was like, oh, God, no. So then last night, it's like maybe like 9 o'clock, 10, between 9 and 10, so it's time for the kids to really start to go to bed. So I was like, all right, it's cool. I'm also going to make myself a hot toddy. So,
you're like, I'm just going to put some whiskey in this cup and drink it?
Yeah, pretty much. I had a turmeric tea toddy. And so, yeah, I made some tea, and then I threw a good amount of whiskey in there. And then, like, I was like, all right, girls, let's go upstairs. Let's go to sleep.
You passed the fuck out.
I passed out. And Jamal said, because he ended up sleeping in the baby's room with the baby. Because Kendall was in the bed with me, and he won't wake him up and make him walk to their room or whatever, but I'm like, all right, get out, and I'll put Kendall in her bed, but I was dead. He said he tried to, like, wake me up. He was like, oh, I touched your foot. That's not going to wake me up.
No, that's not going to wake me up
at all. But I was just, I was dead to the world. I was dead to the world, I'm sure. He said I was snoring. He was like, you were snoring.
Well, you're sick. Like,
and I'm sick. So, I'm congested. And so at 2 o'clock, I woke up. And I was like, you know how you wake out of all the dead silence? And you're like, what the fuck? And I looked at
where
my
phone. Where am I? What's happening? Who is this?
Where is my husband? Where is he? Because Kendall was still in the bed with me. And I was like, did Jamal not come home?
And he was in the bed like.
I go look in the baby's room and I hear.
He didn't wake her up?
No, she's used to it. So he's in the bed with her.
That is so funny.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like trying to get, like, why didn't he come in here? Why didn't he come in here?
That's what I said. I was like, why didn't you come in the guest
room?
There's
a bed in here.
He likes to be with us. He honestly does. Like, he won't say it, but he likes to be with us. And, like, if I'm not home, he's just like, I couldn't sleep. So he likes to be, like, with us and stuff. Like, he went downstairs, I got a bottle, and then got in the bed. And then when she woke up, he was like, bloop. Go sleep. And so he likes to be with us. Like, when he's not with us, he misses us. So, yeah. Listen, I'm like, fuck you guys. I'm going in this guest bedroom.
Look, okay, as soon as Gracie, because I still need to get her bed.
Yeah.
Her full-size bed. As soon as her ass hops her ass in my bed, I'm getting out of my bed, and I'm going to get in her bed.
Bye-bye.
Exactly. Because this girl ends up sideways all the time. I have my head in my side, or I have feet in my side.
Bye-bye.
Feet landing on top of my face.
Listen. Done. The other night, I woke up, Brentley's head, her little baby head, was like on my chest, but it was like right below, like,
your throat.
My throat. And I was like, just like, I can't really move, but I can deal with this. That's, she just likes to be up under us. She doesn't like to have the cover on us. She just wants that body heat.
Gracie doesn't do the covers either.
It's so weird. Anyway, when did you ask about my thumbs up for the week?
Thanks, I was going to, but you started talking about some random shit. I don't even know if I was done with my thumbs up.
I don't know either. It's one of those weeks.
So, yes. What's your thumbs up for the week?
Giving is good. Give. If you can give, give. I'm just saying, if you can give, if you can donate, if you can, you know, brighten somebody's day.
However, I'm going to say this. I'm going to put this out there, and you might...
Disclaimer. You know,
don't give to the fucking rebuilding of the fucking Notre Dame.
Fuck them.
That church... has millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah, fuck them.
They don't need any money.
Give to a local cause. Give to a local business. Give to a small business. Give to a freaking dog shelter. Like, they need it. Those people need it. Your dogs that you guys fucking treat like shit and you buy and you give away and you just throw out of your car. I know some of you motherfuckers.
Throw out of your car?
I don't care. I hear so many stories.
Oh, my God. Speaking of which,
it's sad.
Mom told me this morning about this lady. Some fucking lady put 7 puppies in a fucking trash bag and threw them in the trash.
Bitch.
And luckily, someone saw her do it and got the puppies out of the trash.
Bitch. Yeah. disgusting.
There were 7-week-old puppies.
She's disgusting, and she's disgusting. Take those puppies to a no-kill shelter or any shelter. Give them a fucking chance. Give them an opportunity.
I feel like this is like Pet Adoption Month or something, right?
I don't know, but like my heart just sings, and I really want another dog.
Already? You just got Nora.
We got Nora 2 years ago.
It's been a year. Like, it has not been 2 years.
It'll be fine. It's been 16 months.
I want to get a dog, and Norman's like, no, we don't.
I'm just saying, like, that's not, I'm just saying, like, anyway, just give. There's other causes out there that are local to you that you can actually make a difference for if you have it in your heart and you want to give or you want to get a tax write-off or whatever.
Is that your thumbs up is giving is good?
Giving is good. Give.
For the week.
Just give to someone who cannot pay you back. Don't expect anything. Don't go out.
Or doesn't have to pay you back.
Yeah, or doesn't have to pay you back. Don't look for something in return. Because if you're giving and you're expecting something, you're giving for the wrong reason. Just saying. Yeah,
definitely.
But just give out to whoever you can give to. Bless somebody. Touch their heart.
Okay.
Give them a dollar.
Give something away for 29 days and see how you feel.
And see how you fucking feel.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, man. Let's freaking do this. It's going to be a great week. I'm going to that farmer's market on Wednesday. I'm super excited. So it's actually called
Marker's Farm It.
Marker's Farm It in Bakersfield. Come find us. It's actually Market at Seven Oaks.
Oh, it's over there. Okay.
Yes, Market at Seven Oaks. So I will be there for the remainder of your summer months, the fourth Wednesday of the month.
I feel like that's not enough days. I don't know why.
It's plenty for me.
Because that's only three days. Like, it's actually 3 days.
No, it's more than that. It's actually more than summer. I'm sorry. I'm a liar. So it's from August. I'm sorry. I'm drunk.
Until August.
April, May, June, July, August, September, and October.
Oh, okay, so seven days.
Yeah.
It's basically a week.
That's perfect for me. The fourth Wednesday of the month in Bakersfield, and it's
market. I need to go to a farmer's market.
Market at Seven Oaks.
Some fruit.
Yeah, dude, I'll bring you some fruit. I'm going on Wednesday. I'll be there. So I'm really excited. I've been getting ready for that, so that's a good thing. And podcasts. Guys, I love your podcasts. You guys are freaking wonderful. I found my new podcast BFF. And I can't believe I found them.
What is that?
It's called For Your Reference, and we are best friends.
What is For Your Reference?
They
talk about old shit? What do they do?
No, dude, like, they review movies and series and stuff. Like, I listened to their Game of Thrones podcast, and Brandy, I kid you not, like, we sounded the same. Like, you, me, and her, we could be sisters.
She's one chick that just doesn't...
No, it's her and her husband, or her partner.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in Australia.
Oh, okay.
And the husband is from Kenya, which I freaking dig, because my genealogy came back that I was 10% Kenyan.
Really?
Yeah, right?
Mine is, hold on, I'll tell you right now.
Bring it up.
I'll tell you
anyway,
right
but
now.
They review different things, so I listen to their Game of Thrones, I listened to their Get Out, I listened to their Us.
Oh, they review movies
and
shows?
Yeah, movies and shows, and I also listened to their Money Heist. And it's a Spanish film. It's not even a film, it's a Spanish series on Netflix. But if you're in the States, it's called Money Heist.
Ooh, did they do Diableros?
No. Oh. But if it's in the States, it's dubbed in English or whatever.
Yeah, I,
But I like them. I love her personality. I like who she is. I like the husband. I like his insight or partner or whatever.
And they're called For Reference?
It's called For Your Reference.
For Your Reference.
And they're very interesting, so definitely check them out. I listen to all your other podcasts out there, so if I liked it, loved it, retweeted it, I listened to it. And I do appreciate your work. There was another one. It's called, like, I think it's a NRA woman or NRI woman, and it's about Indian women. It's put on by an Indian woman. She's in India. And the episode I listened to, she was talking about this woman who has rescued countless women, countless young girls from being trafficked, from, you know, sex slavery.
I have no Kenyan in my background.
What do you have in your background?
Okay, so 86.5% sub-Saharan African.
86 sub-Saharan?
86.5, yeah.
Okay.
So that's West African.
Yeah.
What... And it just says West African. So Nigerian, Ghanaian, Liberian, and Sierra Leonean.
I came up Sierra Leone and I came up Nigerian also.
Senegambian and Guinean.
Ooh, not
and
me.
Broadly West African is what it says. So that's just like a broad, like,
word. Mine did say West African too.
And then Congolese and Southeast African, 9.9%. So 8.6% Congolese.
Mm-hmm.
And then 1.3% broadly Congolese and Southern East African. And then Northeast African, 0.1%. So Sudanese, 0.1%. Broadly Sub-Saharan African, 2.75%.
Okay.
And then my European is 12.7%.
What European does it give you?
British and Irish, 6.25%. Okay. Northwest European is 10.5%. So British and Irish is 6.2%. Broadly Northwestern European is 4.3%.
What's Northwestern European?
Fuck if I know. It just says broadly. Like, broadly is like, oh, this general area over here.
Here you go. Anything else?
And then Southern European, 1.5%.
So what's that one?
Spanish and Portuguese, 0.7%.
Portuguese.
Portuguese.
We have different genes.
Broadly Southern European, 0.8%.
We've got different genes. I don't have my phone on me, but I've memorized my genealogy.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. This wasn't here before.
What is it? Same way.
Trace ancestry, 0.3% Native American. This was not here before.
Oh my God, finally! You're native.
Now I have 0.3% unassigned. It was like, it was more than that before. It was
you also did 23andMe.
They're always updating.
Right? Yeah. I did my heritage, and mine came up like 44% Nigerian, 35% Sierra Leone, West African, 10% Kenyan, 13% Irish, 1.1% Iranian.
What?
Me and Ashley are sisters. We're fucking sisters.
Look, if she does it would be funny if you guys were.
We got a connection. Oh, girl, we're sisters. I fucking knew it.
I feel so happy.
You guys are soul sisters.
We're soul sisters. And then there's something else. Hang on. Let me think.
This is weird. That wasn't there before. And I'm like, what?
And then there was, like, another, like, tiny, tiny, tiny percentage. And it was, like, some, like, it was some weird Asian country. But it was, like, Middle East.
Some weird Asian
country. It wasn't weird. It was, like, Sestantistan. I don't have my phone, so sorry, guys.
Tajikistan?
I don't know.
Because some of the stands are Europe and some of the stands are Asian.
Mine was Asian. Okay. It was Asian stan.
Yeah, because I don't have any Asian. Like, none.
Mine was Asian stand. Well, you know, Grandma, so I tell you, Grandma, when she came back 10% Italian.
Well, apparently her father was like...
She didn't know.
Half white.
Well, whatever, I guess I could be it. But mom's what, 3 or 4% Jewish?
Here's what's weird.
There's like, I mean, even though we're a family, like, you get different traits from different families.
Does it show on your genes, like, on 23andMe, it shows on your genes where that line comes from? Does it show that? Like the X's on the... I'll show you.
No. Well, I told you...
On your haplogroups.
We should probably stop this because it's going into like 2 hours.
Oh my God.
I know, right? But I told you I reached out to your father and I was like, hey man.
You want
to
do this fucking thing?
Yeah. And I was just like, hey dude, like...
Did you know you can buy a 23andMe at fucking Rite Aid and just like buy it and do it and send it in?
That's what needs to happen. How they're catching killers.
Yeah, but those, they're not catching them from the actual companies, because these companies don't disclose that.
Right, there's the cheap ones that you guys go ahead and go out and they sell your information.
Well, you can...
They share it.
You can plug your information into, like, you know how Dr. Roger Patrick, she does that thing where you can actually... They can probably get information from her, because if you send...
I don't know the kind of science she's doing, like, I just listened to her from Joe Rogan, and I follow her on Instagram.
Well, like, okay, so...
I'm all about broccoli sprouts.
If you get the health diagnostic from 23andMe or Ancestry or whatever, you can plug that information in to her website and it'll tell you like what type of diet is best for your genotype.
Obviously you can see what kind of diet's best for me. Obviously.
because remember, I don't know if you listened to it, you probably did, but the diet that you eat actually has a lot to do with your genetics.
Yeah.
How you process proteins and how you process veggies.
I've heard about it.
So, You can put your freaking information in there, and it will tell you
from the
you should be on a keto diet or if you should be on a fucking vegan diet. It can tell you that.
I'm supposed to be on a. I should be on a intermittent fasting, semi-pescatarian diet.
Okay. Well, that's what her website does. Like, she focuses on basically longevity, like how you can live the longest. That's what her, like, her studies are about.
Start doing some broccoli sprouts, bro.
Bro. That's why I bought that damn salmon roe.
Ew, she does a lot of salmon roe. It looks gross.
It's so salty. You would like it. It's so salty. I love salty.
Salt, but I'm just going to pop no fucking eggs in my mouth. It's disgusting.
Well, have you tried? I did her her salmon roe stack. It's the salmon roe, avocado, and seaweed. And you just, you put.
I'm cringing. Like, they're popping in your mouth.
They don't actually pop.
They burst.
It's just... you bite it and then your mouth is filled with salt. That's what it is. It's not like pop, pop, pop. It's not like that.
That's how it is for me. Like, if I, like, when I used to eat sushi and the roe on top, I'm like,
Yeah, those little ones do that. But the bigger ones, they don't actually pop. They open up in your mouth, but it's like, it's not like a pop. It's more it's more like a, it's not like a grape.
No.
Like, you know, how grapes pop.
Brandy.
It's more like,
like a fucking egg bursting in your mouth.
They don't.
No.
No. I'm not interested. Like a fucking egg bursting in your mouth.
Not interested.
Oh, lordy. All
anyway, right. This has gone on long enough.
I know, huh? All right, so I'm Brandy Fleeks.
And I am Sunny Hepburn.
And this has been
Book of Lies. The podcast.
Yay.
Oh, my God. Visit our website, bookoflifepodcast.com. You can find us on social. You can stream us on, on Instagram.
Stream us there.
Stream us on Instagram. Let's see if it happens. You can hit us up on Google, iTunes. We are on motherfucking Spotify and Stitcher. Check us out. Listen to us. Tell us what you think. Leave us a review because that's how we learn and grow. And it helps other people find us.
Yeah.
So check us out. Leave us a review and thank you for listening. And show notes. There's a couple of goodies out there for you guys.
Yeah.
Bye. Happy Easter. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Bye-bye.